Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. We have a great show for you today. First, Brian Koberger's alibi notice has been given. He says he wasn't there, and therefore he could not have killed those four college students. Crime is so bad in California, even the criminals are worried about their victims' safety. Weekend at Bernie's, a Brazil version, and our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it.
Hi, lawyer. Lawyer.
Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Welcome to the most fact-driven, unbiased true crime channel on YouTube. All right, it is April 18th, 2024. Let's get straight to the docket. All right, we talked about it yesterday. The deadline was up, and the Brian Koberger's attorneys have had to produce their notice of alibi. And what did they say? They said that the cell phone data will show that Brian Koberger was miles away from old Moscow, Idaho, the night the four college students were slain in their off-campus house. Now, Mr. Koberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13th of 2022, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and the stars, according to the most recent filing that was submitted late yesterday afternoon. The notice provides as well that he, Brian Koberger, drove throughout the area south of Pullman, Washington, west of Moscow, Idaho, including Waiwani Park. Waiwani Park is roughly a 40-minute drive from the murder scene. Now, the defense claimed that Brian Koberger, given his grueling academic schedule, forced him to not only cut down on the time he spent hiking and running, but also to indulge in outdoor hobbies at night. So the expert witness will be called to testify that cell phone data will show, and their expert will testify to that, that Koberger's mobile device was south of Pullman, Washington, and west of Moscow, Idaho, on November 13th of 2022, and that Brian Koberger's mobile device did not travel east on the Moscow-Pullman Highway in the early morning hours of November 13th, and thus could not be the vehicle captured on the video along the Moscow-Pullman Highway near Floyd's Cannabis Shop, according to the defense. Now, as you may recall, prosecutors have claimed that Koberger's Hyundai Elantra was the car that was on the video driving by the students' Moscow home at least four times on the morning of the murders. And investigators have also alleged that Mr. Koberger's phone pinged in the area around the home that morning. Now, the defense team has long claimed that Mr. Koberger was out driving alone on the night of the murders, but they had basically not given specifics. Now, whether they didn't know it or they needed the backup data to do it, well, there you go. They've got it. Anyway, his attorneys have emphasized that they have more details on Mr. Koberger's whereabouts on the night of the murder, but threatened to hold the information until the state shared more of their discovery, as they have previously requested. So they also stated, if not disclosed, cell phone tower expert Sly Ray's testimony will also reveal that critical exculpatory evidence further corroborating Mr. Koberger's alibi was either not preserved or has been withheld. Now, Mr. Koberger's allegedly broke into the off-campus house about 4 a.m., and then allegedly stabbed the four friends to death. And at the time of the killing, like I said, Mr. Koberger was a criminology student at the Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, which is about 9 miles west of Moscow, Idaho. And obviously after the manhunt, Mr. Koberger was arrested on December 30th during a raid at the family house in Pennsylvania. And coincidentally, they had the white Hyundai Elantra that they thought that they were looking for. So now that the defense has given their alibi, it is somewhat interesting because they are using the same data that would have been produced to the prosecution early on in this case. Now, there would have been some refinement done, I'm sure, but it's still the same data. So who is not correct in their data analysis? That's what this is going to come down to. Once again, this case seems like it will come down to the battle of the experts. My expert says you were near the house. Well, my expert says you were out driving around and you weren't near the house. And then they're going to have DNA. Now, obviously the DNA, and having tried many a case with DNA evidence, my experience is a jury wants some explanation as to how that person's DNA got there if you're saying it wasn't you. That's what the defense is going to have to come up with and explain. But as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, a lot of that DNA, sometimes it's not exactly what it appears to be. Yes, it may be DNA, but at what levels of DNA? There may be very small amounts. It could be overwhelming amounts. We don't know that. But to say, oh, it's there, but how much was there and how it could have got there? And unless the prosecution can show that Brian Koberger purchased this Marine Corps K-bar knife, you know, going to have some explaining to do. I'm sure the prosecution thinks they have some way of explaining that, obviously, because they filed charges. Now it's up to the defense, obviously, to hold the government to that burden of proof. And the question is, if his cell phone data truly states that he was not near that house on the night of the murders, somebody's interpreting or misinterpreting the data one way or another. So the next motion hearing is now set for May 14th. The judge is still considering the change of venue motion, and the defense is still seeking further discovery from the prosecution. Next, take a look at this video, all right? You know things are getting bad when the criminals are warning the victims. That's right. This Ring doorbell captured kids that were going to steal a car, the Corvette specifically, just out of the driveway. And basically they said, bring us the keys, you know, throw us the keys out, but don't come out, because if you come out, well, we're going to have to shoot you. And you don't want to lose your life over a car, do you? Huh. That's bold. You got to admit it. That's very, very bold to just say, give me your car keys because I don't want to have to hurt you. Bold but polite, I guess. Very wrong. Now, I get it. There's a lot of people out there that are just getting sick and tired of all of this crime, the thefts, burglaries, what have you. Obviously, if somebody comes into your house, you have a much better right in which to claim that you are in fear of danger, and you have the castle doctrine to fall back upon. However, most states won't let you protect your personal property by using deadly force, okay? And if this homeowner had come out and started shooting at these young lads, they would probably be charged with a attempted murder or murder, depending on how successful they was. So what really is going to have to take place, I think, to really stop a lot of this crime is basically the law is going to have to be changed that somebody can use lethal or deadly force to protect their property. I know, radical idea. It used to be the law. That's what you could do. Not so much anymore, and I get it. It's stuff, right? I think my divorce attorney told me that years ago when, you know, the ex-wife wanted to take my car, my Porsche that I loved. My divorce attorney said, it's just stuff. And you're right, it was. She could have it. I got a new one, but it's stuff. But it is your stuff, and you don't like it being taken away from you, particularly for somebody who has not earned it. Like thugs stealing your car and saying, I want your car. Let me know what you think. Maybe I'm just a little perturbed, but I just, you know, having been the victim of thefts and crimes of that nature, it just really, well, I'll just say it. It really just pisses me off. All right. Next, Weekend at Bernie's, the international edition, right? We all know the Weekend at Bernie's, where their friend dies, the boss, and they drive him around town, no big deal. One of these days I'll tell you about a case where I had a Weekend at Bernie's, literally. Drove the person around in the car, bouncing around in the back. It wasn't pretty. Anyway, let's get to our story today. So, look at this video. It shows a Brazilian woman pushing a not-so-great individual in their physical condition around in a wheelchair. And it was just one day before she wheeled this corpse into the bank. Yeah, take a look at the footage. It reportedly captured in Rio de Janeiro on April 15th outside the door of the emergency care unit. And it showed 68-year-old Alberto Braga alive and being pushed by Erica Souza. He could be seen moving his head and waving his arms as Miss Souza struggled to push the elderly man towards the door. At one point in the video, though, a man in a black T-shirt approached the pair and spoke to Braga before Souza intervened and began to readjust his wheelchair. So in the end, she successfully pushed the elderly man inside the door while he rested his head on the chair. All right, Braga then enters the medical care unit on April 8th and was discharged on the same day, according to the camera footage. Now, despite being discharged from the hospital quite alive, Mr. Braga didn't turn out so well. So Souza was seen pushing Braga's corpse to the bank and asking the teller desk to withdraw from Mr. Braga's account 17,000 reyes, which is about $3,200 American, the equivalent. Employees at the bank became somewhat concerned with Miss De Souza's actions while she tried to get a lifeless Braga to sign a document. So they did what most people did. They called the police and turned on their cell phone cameras. So when the police get involved and they do their investigation, the police chief down there determines that although they could not exactly provide the moment that Mr. Braga died, cadaver spots that were visible on the back of his head indicate that he could have been dead for about 2 hours. So police began their investigation, and they looked into the rideshare app that the Miss Souza was using and dropped off Miss Souza and Mr. Braga to see if Mr. Braga was dead. It turns out he was probably dead by the time that he was in the car and being pushed into the bank. Now, Miss Souza is charged with attempted theft by fraud and vilification of a corpse. Charged as of Wednesday morning. She had told the police that Mr. Braga had died while sitting in the wheelchair at the bank, a claim that obviously the police are disputing. The video recorded by the bank staff showed Miss De Souza holding up Braga's head and telling him, "Uncle, aren't you listening?" Grabbing his hand and saying, "You have to sign. I can't sign for you." And needless to say, the bank workers were a little suspicious, and they said, "I don't think that this is legal. He doesn't look well. In fact, he looks a little pale." Well, yes, he did look a little pale. He was dead. Okay, sorry, sir, but Miss De Souza, you got to go to jail, man. That's just wrong. But to steal from a dead at-risk adult by wheeling them into the bank and acting like they're okay? What were you thinking? I mean, if it wasn't so shocking, you'd probably be a dumb criminal of the day, but you're not. Now you just get to go to jail. I can't even imagine what jail would be like in Brazil, but I doubt it's going to be like some Scandinavian country where you get your own sofa. I don't think so. Mr. Souza, what were you thinking? And finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. All right, we had a resurgence of food crime lately. Now we have a resurgence of dumb drug users. So, an Indiana woman is facing possession charges after she called 911 to report purchasing an inferior batch of methamphetamines, and she alleges that she wants to file charges against her drug dealer. I know. I mean, you know, one of the greatest crimes out there, ladies and gentlemen, is when drug dealers don't give you what they represent, right? You get bunk, which is just, you know, imitation drugs. Drug users get pissed. If you give them something that's not supposed to be in there, they get upset. I see where these drug users are demanding justice. I mean, this is like a gateway crime. Once you're giving them some bad meth, next thing you know, you're giving them some bad fentanyl. Next thing you know, the world is on fire and a mess. So thank God we have Sarah Harris out there. And guess what she did? She called the 911 twice called the emergency number. And guess what? Because of her two calls, she got a visit from the police officers in Indiana because they wanted to make sure everyone was okay. Well, needless to say, during the conversation, Ms. Harris declared that the meth was not what it was supposed to be. And she explained that the drug dealer left her feeling as though she was going to have a heart attack. Maybe that's what meth is. Maybe you got the good meth, Ms. Harris, not the bad meth. Anyway, Ms. Harris said that she snorted a line of the meth and felt something different when it touched her skin and nostrils. Yeah, is probably the good stuff. And I had a case once where they snorted all that stuff, and guess what? They died. Yes, Ms. Harris, you are dumb. I hope you get the treatment you need. Anyway, there's more. Ms. Harris noted that she and a friend had smoked a bowl of this normal meth before obtaining and smoking the bad meth or snorting the bad meth, and that's why she had to call 911. And she wanted the drugs to be tested by God. Well, guess what? It turned out to have that detectable amount of methamphetamine. And guess who got charged? That's right, Ms. Harris. She got arrested, and not her drug dealer. All they have to do is find a small amount of that detectable amount of methamphetamine, and she's going to jail as well she did. Hopefully she will get the help that she needs, or at least next time she will not call the police unless she is truly, truly in danger. Anyway, she's charged with a felony now and faces up to 30 months in prison. That's going to be quite the story when she's sitting around the jailhouse pod explaining how she got here. Well, Ms. Harris, you are a dumb criminal of the day. Maybe you can get a little bit of clout in the prison pod by claiming not only did you get arrested, but you made the Crime Talk Dumb Criminal of the Day. Congratulations, you made it. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And remember, the Constitution matters.